There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest. Steve Davis is with us from the Total Wealth Academy, CEO of the Total Wealth Academy. How are you, Steve?
Excellent. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear your story and how you got started and all about the Total Wealth Academy and your radio show that you got. But just giving you a brief bio on Steve. So Steve started as a health club manager when they cut his pay by $20,000 a year after winning a national sales contest. This made Steve feel like he had no control over his life. He burned through his savings and ended up with bad credit. He decided to look for another way to make money. He had always dreamed of being a real estate investor, so he bought every book and program he could find on the subject. At the time, was in debt about $30,000. Was it worth it? Within 3 years, he quit his job to go full-time into investing, started with single family, and ended up investing in over 4,000 apartment units. For the last 30 years, Steve has been a mentor helping other people achieve the same thing by investing in real estate. He has also been on the radio for over 17 years, teaching people how to take control of their financial destiny using real estate. So Steve, again, thank you for joining us. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about yourself, how you got started, and we'll kind of go from there.
Well, one thing I'll tell you is I actually was able to quit my job within about 2 or 3 months because I figured out how to wholesale. If everybody remembers this guy from the 80s, Carlton Sheets.
Oh, yeah.
I bought his program because I couldn't sleep. You know, it was hilarious. I was like, why do they put these on so late at night? Because people with financial problems can't sleep. So they're watching TV. And he came on and I like Carlton Sheets. I thought he was really trying hard to help people. And I bought his program, learned how to wholesale, and started wholesaling. And about 3 years later, well, I flipped and wholesaled for those 3 years. So I wholesaled first till I got my credit corrected and paid off all my debt. Then I started flipping because you obviously make a lot more money flipping than you do wholesaling. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the 3rd year is when I started buying the rental properties and started to understand a second stream of income and how powerful that was. Moved up to little apartments, bought a little 10 unit, was my first foray into, which I did all wrong, by the way. but then I got a 22, a 23, a 40 unit, and so on. And then eventually ended up passively investing in those 4,000 units.
Awesome.
Wow. So your story is a lot like ours then, but ours was Russ Whitney at the time, yeah. If you remember him. Late
yes,
night infomercial.
Russ Whitney's program.
Yeah, yeah. Wholesaling as well. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So tell us about the Total Wealth Academy. Say that listeners aren't familiar with it. What's your guys' mission and purpose? And is it mainly apartment focused? Is it wholesaling? Like what do you guys teach and help clients with?
Well, the one thing that I really wanted when I was 27 and I had all the books and tapes was a real mentor that had done it. That someone that I could actually talk to, you know, they would say, look, I'm your mentor, but it's all books and tapes and CDs and digital downloads or whatever. But I wanted a place where I could actually meet other investors and get a mentor to put their arm around me and show me what to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what Total Wealth is. Nice. We actually take our students step by step through their first real estate deals until they know what they're doing. Now, they can always call, even after they know what they're doing, there's always new stuff coming up because it's much more complex than people think. I don't want people to be afraid of it, but you do need to know the best practices in the business model. In answer to your question about apartments, they're probably, we do wholesaling, flipping, single family rental. Then on the commercial side, probably 70% of our big deals, 200, 300, 500 units, are apartments. And then the other 30 or 40% is self-storage, RV parks, mobile home parks, strip shopping centers, commercial buildings, hotels, even a couple of hotels. Anything that's real estate that produces cash flow, we're in it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, going back to our story too, the thing that helped us get our foot off the ground and get going was through the Russ Whitney program and all that. The one thing that we bought was a mentorship program way back in the day. And if it weren't have been for that gentleman, he flew from, I think he was out of Detroit, you know, flew when we were living in Albuquerque, spent a week with us. But he took us under his wing. He, you know, I think our first seven deals we did together as like kind of a partnership. And so he made money off the deals, but, that really got us off the ground. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
That you
mentorship
guys
are mentoring. Is key. I think we talk about this a lot.
That's the realest mentor. That is cool. That is a great story where he actually believed in the deal so much that he did them with you.
Correct.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And it was, if it wouldn't have been for him, I don't know if we would have gotten, you know, off the ground or got started. So, and I think, you know, we were 19 years old. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have credit. We didn't have money. But, you know, so obviously he brought some of the financial aspect of it with him. But, I mean, I think mentorship, and we've talked about on the show, that's the key to this. Mm-hmm. You really need, you know, strong mentors. So that's awesome that you guys are doing that. So do you... tell us more about like some of your programs and some of the stuff that, you know, you guys offer.
Well, I think the big one and the most popular is our passive investing program. The law requires you to be a sophisticated investor to invest passively. And we put together a group of classes with some experts. I've got one of the top CPAs in Houston, one of the top attorneys in Houston. Really, this attorney, he's one of the top in the nation, to teach a series of classes so people understand commercial real estate from A to Z, and they become sophisticated, then they're legally allowed to invest passively, but it makes them choose better deals. There's a lot of people online, you know, where they'll say, yeah, we'll take your money, but these people don't know how to read a private placement memorandum, a PPM. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to read an operating or company agreement. They right. don't understand what they can read them, but they don't understand them. Well, my students are going to be, and are, I'm very proud of this, I guess, are the most educated passive investors anywhere in the US. There's other people equal, but I don't think there's anybody better than the passive investors. So they come in, and if they've got $100,000 or more, they passively invest in those apartment complexes. Somebody with $100,000 would probably put $50,000 in an apartment complex and $50,000 in a self-storage. Our internal rates of return are anywhere from 18% all the way up to 45, but that's rare. The average is probably somewhere in the mid 20s. Mm-hmm. And it changes your life when you start building that second stream of income and you're doing nothing. A passive investor does nothing. Mm-hmm. The sponsor finds the deal, negotiates the deal, closes the deal, manages the deal, sells the deal. The passive investor does nothing but put up their money into something that makes them, you know, 3 to 4 times as much as what they're making in the stock market or with mutual funds.
Yeah. That's very cool. So I know that, you know, a lot of people want to be an entrepreneur. They want to get into real estate investing, but sometimes they don't really know what it takes to be successful. So in your opinion, what does it take to be a successful real estate investor?
I think humbleness is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
When I see, like, I've got two students right now, that are just outstanding. They read 20 books a year.
Wow.
They're excelling at their jobs. They're excelling at savings. saving money, but they're humble. And they come, they came to me and I'm like, you're already killing it. But to them, they just are humble. They're like, nope, okay, I'm doing well, but I want to do better and I need help to do it. So being humble and admitting you don't know what you're doing, but it's hard on the ego.
Yeah, right.
The ego wants to stick to what you're doing and think you know it all. And that keeps you from learning. Mm-hmm. It really does. So you need to be humble and you need to be willing to take massive action, because that's what it takes. It's a lot of action. I love your property management company because these people who take this massive action don't know how to run an apartment. Mm-hmm. So they take another massive action step and get with you guys and you run the apartment for them. It's all about taking action in one way, shape, or form. So they got to be humble. They got to be action takers and they got to believe in themselves.
Right.
I see so many people that are smarter than me, better looking than me, better built than me, and they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
They don't believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't think they're good enough. I'm telling you, anybody can do this, but you really need to believe in yourself. And I think books are a good way to build up your self-esteem. The book that changed my life because I was a very insecure, very fearful person in my early 20s and through high school and so on. It was Unlimited Power by Anthony Robbins.
Hmm.
And when I read that book, he got me, one, to get my ego in check, mm-hmm. two, to believe in myself. And I think the third major point was to understand that I had a really bad belief system about money because my parents were broke and I was just listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the wrong thing to do. I love my parents. I respect my parents. They love me. They wanted to help me. They just couldn't. They were broke. They retired broke. So I had to get around people. The third lesson was get around successful people.
Yes.
I think he's quoting Andrew Carnegie, where Andrew Carnegie said, simply go out and find people who have out of life what you want and imitate them.
Right.
And I was like, that's the secret. That changed my life.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that was totally not what I expected. I didn't expect you to say humble, because if you really look at a lot of people in this industry, that's the total opposite.
Right. So,
and I agree with you that they got to be able to listen and take massive action. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's awesome.
You know what's interesting? Do you know that arrogant people are generally insecure?
Yeah.
If you go, oh, what an arrogant, what an ego-based person, they're actually insecure. That's why they're constantly bragging about themselves. That's why they're constantly acting cool, because they're trying to prove something. So I've found that the arrogance is really a sign of an insecurity.
Yeah.
That's great. What makes you, because you've been mentoring and helping people for 17 years or
30 long, years,
30 years,
30 years,
30 years. Where does that passion come from you? Like what makes you want to give back so much and help others?
I think it's definitely because a bunch of people helped me. And I got a book when I was 16 by a guy named Zig Ziglar.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a Zig Ziglar. I was like, man, I would love to be on stage. I don't know why that turned me on so much, but I was like, to be a baby Zig Ziglar was my goal, because I didn't want to travel all around the country like he did and around the world.
Yeah.
I wanted to stay in my little, I don't know, I love my family and my friends, and that's where I want to stay. I wanted to be a little baby Zig Ziglar in Houston.
That's awesome.
And then I'll tell you the story that pushed me over the edge was a lady came in to my office and she's in tears and she's got a note from her husband and it was a suicide note.
Mm.
And she goes, you stopped my husband from killing himself. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, he was so miserable in his job. He hated his life. I didn't know he had written this note. I just found it. But you convinced us to buy that 32 unit apartment. He now sings in the shower. Our love life is back. He's happy and joyful. You saved his life. You just never know how you're going to touch people.
Yeah, that's powerful. I just got the chills with you when you said that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so, it brings me to tears every time I tell the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was gut-wrenching.
Wow. So tell us some of the mistakes and pitfalls maybe that you've seen or made along your investment journey.
My biggest mistake, for some reason, I knew that I needed to buy books and CDs on single family. And I bought, got mentors for single family. But then I said, I'm going to make the transition to apartments. It didn't click that they're two totally different things.
Right.
I thought because I could run single family, I could run an apartment. So I buy this 10 unit and get killed. The first year, I think I lost 20 grand or something like that. The second year I lost 10 grand, but I had a hold of it by the end of the second year. And what I learned, and I'm not sure who I learned this from, but there's a thing called lag, laziness, arrogance, and greed, LAG. I was too lazy to take a course on running apartments. I was too arrogant. I thought, hey, I can run 100 houses. I can run a little 10 unit apartment. And then I was greedy. I didn't want to pay that 30 grand for the apartment management courses. So that killed me. And I made 140,000 when I sold it, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm great. Well, I finally took the $30,000 course and found out that I sold it for $349,000 less than it was worth.
Ouch.
So you still paid for everything. way or another. So
That $30,000 course cost me $389,000.
Is there stuff that you've seen, you know, educating and mentoring people that common mistakes or, you know, things that people do that maybe they could avoid?
I would have to say, trying to do it trial and error is the biggest mistake that you can make. Not educating yourself before you get your first deal. And our single family education, ours is only $500. I think there's multiple clubs in town. All of the education on single families right around $500. You need to do that. Mm-hmm. Because trial and error, like what I did with that apartment, the bill for that is way more than $500.
Mm-hmm.
So I think not getting educated first is the biggest mistake. The biggest mistake once they're in it is not following the path.
Mm.
The example I'll give you is this person enrolls. They buy 6 houses the first year. I don't see them for say 4 years. I go, man, how you doing? How many houses you got? 6. And you're like, they just kind of get lost and they don't realize that you've got to do it consistently every single year.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest mistake that I see people make is just getting a plan. It works. And then they don't keep doing it.
Can they skip the traditional path of like wholesaling, rehabbing, single family rentals, apartments? Can they jump right to apartments, or is it dependent on the individual?
If you got, and really they could do it with 50 grand or more, but if you've got 50, 100 or more $1,000, you need to skip single family altogether and go directly to commercial. And most people, probably 95% of them, it should be passive. And about 5% of them should become sponsors or syndicators themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Very good. So go ahead. Do you have a question?
No, go for it.
I was going to ask you, are entrepreneurs born or created?
Oh, it's learned. I don't believe anybody's born to be anything. I think that it's upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird experiences that may be odd or out of the ordinary. I'll give you an example. I'm trying to recruit a sponsor that owns 27 apartment complexes. I'm trying to get her to join Total Wealth Academy and let our members invest in her deals. She tells me this story. She goes, "Steve, do you know why I'm a real estate investor now with 27 apartments?" I go, "Tell me." She goes, "I was listening to a baseball game and it got rained out. And they played your radio show, my radio show, while they were waiting for the rain to stop."
Wow.
She listened to me and said, "Doggone it, I'm going to buy some real estate." So she joined the club and a different real estate investor club, because I wasn't even in existence at that time. She joined that club and just started buying real estate. And now I think it's 15 years later, she's done 29 deals. I believe she still holds 27 of them. And these are big complexes of 200, 400, 600 units.
That's awesome. She owes you like a steak dinner or a vacation or something.
So, I mean, yeah. Now that we're on.
I just wanted to join because my members would love to be in her deals.
Right.
Love to be in her deals.
That's awesome. So you said you've been doing the radio show now for 17 years?
Yeah, it's actually close to 20 now.
Wow.
Close to 20.
That's awesome. What do you focus on the radio?
I focus on really motivation, trying to get into people's heads as to why they want to do this. Secondarily, I go through the principles of real estate investing on the show. But people need to understand that their why they want to invest, why they want to build a second stream of income, is actually more important and more difficult to establish than figuring out how to run a house or an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all basic stuff. It's ABC, it's best practices, it's the business model, it's all laid out. But getting yourself motivated to take action towards that goal of financial independence, we spend probably 50% of the show on that and 50% on the mechanics of actually owning rental real estate.
Hmm.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
We touched on some of this already, but I'm just curious, if you have a couple, you know, maybe good paying jobs just starting, but never want to invest in real estate, but have zero, maybe even don't own their own home. What would you, and they came in and bought your course or came and bought your mentorship package or however that works. What steps would you take them through? Where would you start with them?
Generally, people sit down with me for about an hour and lay out their present financial position. And then it's an analysis of, are they happy at their present job? And believe it or not, about 25-30% of people are actually happy. Mm-hmm. They enjoy what they do. They feel like they're in their purpose in life. But 75% are going, "No, I want a different job. They abuse me. I'm working 70 hours a week," things like that. So I try to establish a why. What is their main motivation for doing it? We focus on that. Then I look at their present financial position. Where are their assets? Is it in an IRA? Well, we're probably going to move that IRA to a 401k, a 401 solo. Then we'll take that 401 and go buy real estate with it. If they've got cash, that's easy. You just go buy real estate with it. But anybody with 100 grand or more, we're going directly to passive investing. If you got less than that, then we look at active investing, single family or a small apartment.
Awesome.
Love
and then
it.
I walk them step by step through the deals.
Yeah, cool. So Steve, something that we always ask our listeners, or I'm sorry, yes, is what's your next?
Ooh. No, I'm 57. I've got about a 10-year plan for Total Wealth Academy. I think the next 10 years are going to be really heavily weighted towards growing Total Wealth Academy. Mm-hmm. We want to We're opening an office in Dallas at the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
Phoenix, then Arizona, Phoenix, then Atlanta. And if I had the choice, the way that I feel right now, I would drop dead mentoring somebody. I don't want to quit. It brings me massive joy. And it's fun. And I just love my students. I mean, I have some of the way that we sell is very low pressure. So we end up with some of the best people. I was at a company before where they used high pressure techniques, and you would end up signing up people that really weren't committed. They just did it because there was so much pressure to do it. I use a very low pressure technique. And so the people that do enroll are very, very serious. I don't sign up as many as the other club does, but I think the quality of my students is extremely high. So it makes it very enjoyable to deal with them. Yeah. I think this is my next.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I actually had a chance to kind of see that this morning. I was actually on one of your students, Alyssa Stone's property tour, which is a property that we manage for her. But yeah, the passion that I saw in some of those investors, I mean, you're right. I mean, they were serious.
Yeah.
So you've created something awesome there, Steve.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome. So I want to know, is there anything, if you could go back to your 20-year-old version of you, is there anything you would have done differently?
I would have started sooner.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy. I started at 27. People are going, oh, I wish I was 27 and started at 27. I wish I had started at about 16 educating myself on money, but I didn't know that's what you were supposed to do. Yeah. My parents, again, who I love and respect, and they loved me, they taught me, no, you work real hard in high school, you go to college, you get a job with a major corporation with good benefits and high pay and saving a 401, blah, blah, blah. So I thought I had the right map. It wasn't until age 27 that I woke up and go, this map doesn't work. My parents are broke. Everybody I know is broke. I'm broke. I had to get a new map. So what I wish is that the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People had been written 15 years earlier.
Yeah.
And that I had read it at age 16 to learn that you have to have the right map.
Yeah.
If you've got the wrong map, it doesn't matter how hard you work, doesn't matter. You could get a degree in map reading. You could get motivated, have the right attitude, but you got the wrong map. Yeah. You're just going to get to the wrong place faster with all those things.
Well, that was a great book that you just recommended. Any other books that you recommend?
For beginners, it's The Richest Man in Babylon by George Klassen.
Loving that.
Then Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Classics.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with any of the Robert Kiyosaki books. Sean and I, when we got started at 19, we were playing his cash flow games with a bunch of 40-year-olds, and we were like 19.
Yeah, we were way ahead. But so how can, last question, how can people get a hold of you? How can people work with you?
Well, the first step is we offer a free sample class. It's a one-hour class that gives you an overview of everything that we do to make sure that it's exactly what you think it is and that it's going to benefit you and your family. Just go to totalwealthacademy.com and there's a big yellow button that says free sample class. That's the starting point.
Awesome. And we'll put all that in the show notes and your website and
in your radio show. What radio show?
The full schedule. We're on 7 days a week, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio. And you can find the full schedule at totalwealthacademy.com. But my main show in Houston is AM 700, 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. AM 700 KSEV, 2 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Awesome.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for being on with us today. You have a wealth of knowledge and excited to get to know you a little more and the Academy.
You know, I have to say this. This was, without a doubt, the best interview I've ever done. I loved your questions, but I want you on my podcast, but be prepared. I'm going to ask you the exact same question. I almost interrupted because I'm curious what in the heck motivated you at 18, 19 to do what most people don't do until they're 40.
Yeah, we got a story for you, Stephen. We'll right. definitely have to share that to on your show.
Yeah, we'd love to. We'd love to share it. And yeah, it's, I think it'd be fun. And we'd love to do this again. And anything we can ever do for you or your students, you know, we're just a phone call away. But thanks for doing this with us and taking the time. I know you're vacationing and away. And so enjoy your weekend. And thanks again.
All right. You guys have a great one.
Thank you. All right.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.